But here's the thing. Life happens. And sometimes the regimented rules, the constriction of those, don't allow people to be people.
Welcome to Learning Life. I'm your host, John Toda, and we're excited to have you back for another episode this week. Our show is made possible by our sponsor, KnowledgeLink, the online training platform that improves the skill sets of your employees and helps to make a company's people their most valuable asset. Check KnowledgeLink out at getknowledgelink.com. Whether you're a business owner, corporate educator, or an expert yourself, Learning Life strives to offer you something new to learn in each episode. We've got amazing thought leaders and learning and development professionals coming on the show each week. So subscribe wherever you're listening and make sure to leave us comments and ratings so we know how you're enjoying the season. Now, our guest today is Chaz Wilson, the founder and president of Master Networks. Chad's built an amazing business helping other entrepreneurs grow their networks, scale their businesses, and leave a legacy beyond it. They've currently got over 3,000 members and chapters all over the United States, connecting and growing their business networks together. So for all of us who are continually trying to grow our own networks and build our businesses, Chaz has a ton of knowledge to share. He's the author of two books on the topic, Five Plus One and Now Make Good, and he runs a hugely popular podcast show called Connect, Share, Prosper, where Chaz is interviewing entrepreneurs and fellow master networkers. So let's get into it. Chaz, welcome to Learning Life.
Oh, thanks, John. So excited to be with you, and my pleasure to be here.
So now I always like to start with everybody on the personal side, really understanding why you got into this business, why you decided to start Master Networks and really help entrepreneurs grow their networks and build a bigger, better business. Where did you start? How did you get into it in the first place? What was the job before you started as an entrepreneur yourself?
Yeah, so I've really always been an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur since I can remember. Even in high school, I had a friend who her father owned a hat company, and I worked with them in the summertime a little bit, and I used to get hats from them. And he's like, "Yeah, pick any hat you want, just $5." Like, you know, it's wholesale. First time I understood what wholesale was, and I would go to my friends, and they'd be like, "Hey, I want that hat." And I was like, okay, let me see if I can get you. And I go back and he'd say, yeah, sure. You can sell for whatever you want. You just can't sell it for more than I sell them in the stores for $20 or $25. And I would go back and I'd sell them to my friends for $15, $20. And I would make this margin. I'm like, okay, I like this thing called business. And that's where it started for me. You know, fast forward a little bit, I got into the real estate industry after I got married and grew a real estate franchise, mortgage and title company. And, you know, I grew it through networking. I grew it through relationships. I grew it through just face-to-face connecting with people. And then 2007, 2008, 2009 hit, and it was difficult. It was tough. And really, Master Networks happened by accident, John. It wasn't like I intentionally set out to go create this business. And what happened was I was part of a networking group. I have five children, John, and my youngest two are twins. And one of my twins was having some challenges health-wise. At that time, we decided that he needed to have surgery and went and took care of the surgery. And of course, my focus is completely on my family at this time of my life. You know, there's a place, and I'm always careful about this, because there's a place where there's success in business. And there's the way I look at it is, if I'm super successful on stages and I'm doing all this stuff, but I'm failing at home, then it just doesn't matter to me. And so I do what I can. I just give you a quick example, and I'm not perfect at this, but I'm working at it every day to invest in those relationships. Because how can I go out and teach about relationship building if I'm failing in those relationships? So for instance, almost every morning I take my kids to school. I was in New Orleans this week launching some new chapters, and I made sure I took the 2:30 flight so I could get home and be at the football field by 5 p.m. because I coach my twins' football team, right? So I get my feet underneath me. My wife's recovering. My twins are recovering. One of my twins is recovering. And I get home and I have this letter in the mailbox from the networking group I've been a part of for 10 years that said, you know, "Dear Chaz, sorry we've missed you." Actually, I didn't really even say sorry we missed you, but you've been absent. And we're going to replace you in this group that I've been a part of for 10 years. And that didn't sit well with me. And that started the journey for me creating Master Networks.
You know, it's fascinating because I think as an entrepreneur myself and part of that network of entrepreneurs, business owners, there's so many of these groups and there's so many networks and communities for entrepreneurs to get together and connect. And I always feel like they all have a different flavor, a different focus. And sometimes you run into ones like the experience you had where, you know, if you're not giving enough to the group, it's like, you know, they don't want to be there for you in the hard times. So how much did that inform the style or the theme of Master Networks and what you wanted to build in, and the really what the emphasis was going to be?
Yeah, great question. It was entirely the foundation, because here's what I understood at that moment in my life. You know, I've got these children and this wife that need my focus and attention. And for 10 years, I had been leading this group. I'd been a part of it. I served it in any way I could possible. Now, there's rules to it, and I understood those rules. And I hadn't been present for a few weeks, so I understood that. But here's the thing. Life happens. And sometimes the regimented rules, the constriction of those, don't allow people to be people. And so what we set out to do when I looked at creating Master Networks, really, I just wanted to create a chapter. I didn't know what I was going to call it, anything like that. But I just set out and I said, I want two things. I don't necessarily want it to be focused on referrals only, which is where I felt the focus of the groups I was a part of were at. I wanted it to be relational, not transactional, and I wanted to enhance it with world-class education. And if I could have those two things, then I knew that referrals and business would come as a byproduct of those two things. And so that's the foundation of what we've built.
Yeah. And I love that because, you know, I'm a learning guy, obviously, at heart. And I've been involved with EO for a long time on the learning side. And I feel like in some of these groups, learning isn't the emphasis, and development of the members, both personally and professionally, is kind of secondary to, okay, are we getting some business value out of coming to these meetings? And, you know, how many leads have I gotten out of it? And so tell me a little bit about the role that learning plays in Master Networks, because, you know, both myself and our listeners love to hear about the learning aspect. How much has that kind of evolved over the years and really become a core of what you're doing in with the group?
So it's very foundational. As I said, it's one of the two things we're focused on. We're focused on building relationships and world-class education. And how this really evolved is early on, I've always been coached. I have mentors in my life. And one of those great mentors in my life has written several best-selling real estate books, had been in the real estate industry, had helped develop a world-class education for a real estate franchise, and had retired at that moment in his life, was retired and was helping some entrepreneurs. And I reached out to him and connected with him. I knew of him, but I didn't know him. And we just hit it off really well. And he loved what we were doing. He loved how we were giving back to the business community. And he sat down, and for a year, he and I, we developed this outline of education, which eventually evolved to my book, 5+1, and it becomes the foundation for everything we do. So we deliver this training every week in our chapter meetings. We have online resources, books, et cetera, training courses, masterminds, all that. And of course, then we have the online learning as well that we provide to our members as part of their membership. And so it is truly the foundation. And just to add to that, we did a survey last year. We said we wanted to know why are people joining and why they stay. And education was number one of why they stay, and it was number two of why they joined.
So now tell me, when you're talking about the education that your members want, the content that you put out there that is used the most, rated the highest, the stuff they ask for, what is it that you're seeing business owners really looking for, really kind of consuming the most of from an education perspective?
Well, so I laugh only because and we have some coaching programs and we have masterminds, and I hear this all the time, but where they go to and what they actually need sometimes are different, right? So they avoid they avoid what they know they need. For instance, I'll give you the example. One of my five disciplines in 5+1 is the tracking discipline, meaning what are the key numbers in your business? How do you track them? Do you know your profit and loss statements, et cetera? And I find that most business owners, they're avoiding that. So they're not going to that training because they don't want to look at it. They don't want to know. And it's probably what they need the most. But what we also hear is that, and where we see people going is one of the two other disciplines is either the targeting discipline, which is who's my ideal client? Where do they congregate? How do I attract them into my business? And then the last one, which is team building. How do I then scale and grow my business? Because I've never hired an employee or I have two. How do I go to 10? And we walk them through that process.
Yeah. And I think some of the team building, I know when I was running learning in my chapter of EO, one of the big, it was always like, well, give us more sales, you know, sales and marketing, finding more customers, doing more business.
Right.
And then, you know, we'd always try to go in the direction, well, let's focus on developing your leadership team. Let's focus on building the team, setting up the right kind of culture with the people that you're working with and just all of the content that you're putting out there. Is team building becoming something that is really important to how you manage that team?
Oh, so we do 2 leadership retreats a year for all of our leaders across the country. They can come to Texas where our headquarters is. And we focus on the personal development that they need to grow, because I found early on in my business career, I really successful early on from a sales standpoint, right? I could sell, I was growing numbers, we were hitting those numbers, but then I found a big problem. The problem was that my sales and my business always dropped to the level of my personal development. I couldn't exceed that. My sales had outgrown my personal development, and then it dropped. And so that's why we focus on the team building, the personal development stuff, in 2 meetings a month and then 2 meetings a year where we bring everyone together. That's how crucial and important it is for us.
No, that's great. Yeah, I know I've heard from people, you know, and people I've worked with in the past where they say, oh, you just do more sales, more revenue. That'll always solve the problem. I'm like, I think that problem's still going to be there. You know, like, so now the other thing you said that is a big core aspect of Master Networks is the relationship side. And tell me a little bit about what you guys do to form the relationship, to strengthen the relationships within chapter groups and the different members. And what things are working for you as you're growing a network like this and building the community?
When you talk about building relationships, and John, you and I did this, we did something that I think in business networking often gets missed. The acronym we use is called BOND, B-O-N-D. And we developed this over the years of something we do every time we're trying to connect with somebody. Because you've probably been to those meetings, whether they're highly social. So, you know, you show up and there's, you know, hors d'oeuvres, cocktails, whatever. And people are social and that's fine, but it doesn't really evolve to much. Or on the other hand, it's really rigid and it's all about business and you don't build any relationship. And so what we try to teach is spending time on this face-to-face meeting. And we use an acronym called BOND. And so let me quickly share what that is. It's an acronym, and B is build on a common interest. Okay. And the reason we do that is that's very wide, but it's the skill set to learn on what do we have in common. And you did that with me right away. I was actually observing this. You built on all these common things and it made a connection to us right away because you built on something that was in common for both of us. The second is the O, and that's occupation exploration. Then you go into, hey, tell me about what you do. How did you get started? And even this interview is much like that. And then the N is needs discovery. That's when you start to get in, hey, what do you need? And notice it's not about, hey, here's what I can do to help you. It's what do you need, right? That's the listening part and asking questions. And then the D is develop an opportunity, right? And that's not, you know, commission breath somebody. That's, can we develop an opportunity? Is there something in the future? Or based on the need you said, John, I know somebody that I can connect you with. You still see me as value because I just connected you with the need you have. And so we use that BOND acronym. We practice it in the first meeting of the month, every single month. So it's a skill that we can learn, we can develop to help us grow our relationship and grow our network.
Oh, I love that. I love it. So for everyone, it's BOND. And if I got it right, it's build on a common interest, occupation exploration, needs discovery, and then develop opportunity.
That's it.
Yeah, that's great. That's great for people to remember too. You're kind of unique because so many of our listeners who might be experts or thought leaders or real prominent business people in their space, they want to go out and grow a chaptered organization, a community like you've done. And I see so many people struggle with it. What are some of the lessons learned along the way? Some of the things that you've done right or things that you learned and would have, you know, liked to learn it sooner in building out, you know, something this big as far as a community and a chaptered organization goes, because it's not that easy to do. You know?
No, you don't have enough time for me to share all the things we learned that we did wrong. I mean, we found really quickly that weekly meetings made sense. And And there are other groups that do monthly. There was actually, this is kind of a funny story. When we were building out and decided we wanted to expand outside of our own chapter, and we think we got a business here. We've got some interest. I left the real estate world and started into Master Networks full time. We found several models that were out there. We're like, hey, if there's a model that's working, we want to at least build on that foundation. And there was this company in California. It looked like they had 30, 40 chapters on the West Coast, and they met twice a month. And I emailed the website, emailed the founder, and I said, hey, just a quick question. I want to know, how is twice a month meetings going for you versus the weekly? What we're looking to do? He goes, well, we're no longer in business. I said, you just posted like 3 months ago, this big social event. He said, yeah, we can't get people to show up on a regular basis. They can't remember what they ate last night, let alone, is this the week I have a meeting? Is this not the week I have a meeting? And we found that to be such great advice. Even though some people complained about a weekly meeting, they would also complain about a twice a month meeting or a once, like it didn't matter. They were going to complain either way. So for us, it was weekly. It was the repetition, the spaced repetition. The second thing that was important to us when we started organizing our group, if you don't charge a fee, if it doesn't matter from a money standpoint, it's not going to matter to people, right? We've got a mastermind group that it just doesn't seem to stay together because everyone wanted to do it as a free mastermind of all these thought leaders. We're going to come together, and it never works. Because nobody shows up. They don't put the price, the value on it because they haven't committed anything to it. And then the last thing I would say is be very careful about who you keep. So I always tell my leaders, don't judge me on who I bring in, but judge me by who I keep. Because I'm going to be wrong sometimes on who I think is going to be a good fit, who is and who isn't. But once I know they're not a good fit, in it, whether it be a leadership position or in our chapters or regional position, if I continue to keep them, you have every right to judge me. But don't judge me up front. Give them a chance. And so those would be three key points I would leave with the group.
You know, just to validate those points, I think weekly meetings is huge. And I've been in so many groups where it's monthly, and I agree with you. It's almost too far apart. You forget about it, and the every other week deal is exactly like you said. It's just too hard to remember. And it causes too many troubles. So weekly meetings is a great tip. Charging money, I feel the same way. Whenever I've gotten something, you know, for free, you just don't have that same interest. And when you put real money and you've got skin in the game, you're going to go to those weekly meetings and get value out of it. So yeah. I think that's huge. And I do feel like it's tough to go to tell someone who's just trying to start up a network, you know, in the early stages and say, oh, be really selective in your recruiting of members. No one's going to go for that, right? Like they're going to try to get as many people as they can get, but being selective on who you keep in there is a really nice tip. So thank you. Those are awesome. And so now with everything that you're doing, where are you looking going forward, scaling the business? Obviously, you know, I know you guys are growing really quickly now. When you look forward, you know, 2 years, 3 years from now, where do you see the future of chaptered organizations like this, you know, networking groups and communities? Where do you want to take it?
So it's interesting. We just had a leadership meeting on this, and we're in 22 states, which, you know, a couple of years ago was hard to imagine. And now we're looking at being in every state by the end of next year. And we have 7 countries right now that we have identified where we have people waiting for us to launch master networks in those countries. Our goal is to get a bigger foothold in the U.S. before we do that. We've seen other businesses try to scale globally too quickly and not have the infrastructure. So we have a certain goal we're going to hit in the U.S. before we go, but we will be a global organization. We're already moving in that direction. And we're in the midst of launching some new technology for a mobile platform that allows the whole network to be connected. So we see some amazing things happening. We're launching new chapters almost like we have like one new chapter a week that's launching in different parts of the country. It's pretty amazing right now.
Oh, that's awesome. Congrats. And now for our listeners, because obviously we've got a lot of entrepreneurs in our audience, if they're interested in learning about a local chapter, getting involved, just tell me a little bit about how big are the chapters and what would they do if they wanted to find out about one in their area and how they get involved?
So you can just go to masternetworks.com and you can either click to join a chapter, start a chapter, find a chapter. We have a whole team here at our headquarters that you can call in or leave your information. We'll reach out to you and we'll walk you through. If there's a chapter in your area, we'll show you how to join. If there's not, you're considering like maybe I want to start one, what does that entail? We have 3 people here that will reach out to you. Any one of them can walk you through what that process looks like and you can get started. It's that easy.
part of the growth for you, is it people engaging and there's not a chapter, you know, in their city or within their vicinity, and they can actually engage and you give them all the tools and the support in order to launch a chapter in their area?
Yeah, we actually launch regions as well. So we have regional partners who actually own the territory with us. We're not a franchise. We believe in partners, not prisoners. So we create these LLCs that these partners can buy, and they own the area with us. And if you either have an interest in launching a chapter or region, whatever you'd like, just reach out to us.
Oh, that's awesome. And on social media, where's the best place to kind of keep up to date with you? Is it Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram? Where, and what are the handles?
If you just search Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn and you type in Master Networks, you'll find us. And that's probably the best. Then I would say YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn, all of those. We're producing content every day on those.
And for everyone, masternetworks.com or chazwilson.com. Check out all the content that's available there. And also the books, 5+1, Now Make Good. I think you can order them right through the website as well, right?
You can. You can order them right through masternetworks.com. Go to store, click those, and you can we send those books out within 24 hours.
And before we split, tell our listeners what your podcast show, what the name is, how they can find it, and what you do on there on a weekly basis, or how often you're releasing.
Yeah, I appreciate that, John. It's called Connect, Share, Prosper, where I bring entrepreneur success stories on every week, top-level entrepreneurs who share where they started, very similar to what your platform is here. We do live on Facebook on our Master Networks page. Just search Connect, Share, Prosper.
Awesome. Connect, Share, Prosper. And thank you so much for being here today, Chaz. You shared a ton of knowledge in a short amount of time. And I hope our listeners check out your Master Networks and get more involved. I think what you're doing is great for business owners everywhere.
John, absolutely. My pleasure. Appreciate it.
And to all of our listeners, thank you for being here every week. As you know, we have a new episode that comes out every week. So wherever you're listening, subscribe, leave us feedback. We love to hear from our listeners. And until next week, happy learning.